got Jordan Hatfield. Do you want to make your way up here? I wanted to just encourage you about what the Lord is doing among us. I wish I could bring greetings from Wichita. It's been we're meeting earlier over there, so I get to be there for the whole service and then get here for this whole service, which is kind of fun. And there's just a lot of great things. There's just something special happening in Wichita right now. We're new in a way, so you know that's always kind of fun. But there's just multiple people coming, and you might notice some families gone from here that were normally here. Some of them are kind of connecting over there. They live in between, and they're going to Wichita. And we're just asking people to be led by the Spirit, however you feel led to do. We do meet at 9 o'clock over there in Wichita at Hilltop. If you ever want to come and go on a field trip, just come over there and check it out. It's going well. It's a lot of cool leaders and people ministering, open door to refugee ministries, a lot of international folks. And we're just having a real blast in that poorer part of the city as that work continues over there. So, but just pray for those people. And if you get curious about it, somebody and concerned, I just follow that compelling and call them. That's fine. But we just love how the Lord is fitting everybody together in the body just as they're supposed to be. I did want to mention the Peru thing to you. I don't know if you can connect with those things. That's great. Next weekend, I'm going to be with a bunch of our leaders from Wichita. We're going to be down in Tulsa with missional leaders from like 5 or 6 cities, mostly all doctors, as we target the 15 most unreached areas on the planet where people are shedding their blood. And one of the guys, Todd, you know Todd, he said he was in prayer about this meeting. I hope you'll pray. But he felt like the Spirit was going to mark some of these doctors to buy, you know, really have one-way tickets that some of them may end up shedding their blood in these areas like Algier and these places where Al-Qaeda is so aggressive and so brutal. And so we're going to be down there. I don't know how many of us there'll be, 100 or 200, I don't know what it is, but a bunch of people from multiple cities. And I'm going to share a little bit about the second coming and its link to the gospel, the kingdom, and that kind of thing, and try to charge that up. And then we're going to start to strategize a little bit about how to get guys these places. So please pray. It's just amazing things happening on the planet. We're going to get the gospel to every people group on the planet by 2020, latest 2025, Lord willing. The Bible will be translated. There'll be people. There's multiple groups targeting. We were at We Wednesday, I think, the other night, and one of the gals said she was down in Atlanta at Passion Church, and they raised $500,000, I think, in one service, literally just for outreach to some unreached people groups. I can't remember how many it was. Do you guys remember? Yeah. But it was like they said that because of this offering, the gospel's going to get sent to this place. And so we're so glad to hear the Lord's touching people all over in apostolic ministries that are sending, and getting the gospel so we can get this age done. We want this thing over with and Jesus back here, and we're getting closer. So, amen. If you turn your Bibles to Isaiah 54, I want to just share a quick moment and then have Jordan share something that's in his heart. In Isaiah 54, and you might have seen this in the midweek, and this is about the, I don't know, third or fourth time we brought it up, but Amy and I were away on retreat 2 or 3 years ago, I think it was in 11, and the Lord specifically spoke Isaiah 54 to our hearts and gave us some direction about some things to do, which are kind of what's manifesting and happening around us. But this passage given to Israel, and it's got some current, you know, understanding for Israel, but as a prophetic scripture, I feel like the Lord has spoke these 3 verses to us. It says, "Sing, O barren one who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord." And then here's the call. There's the promise of, hey, barren one, you that are not bearing children, for me, I take that kind of personal. I mean, we got babies, lots of babies that have shown up. But in the spiritual, we know that the Lord has called us to harvest. He's really put evangelism on our hearts, and we know there's an outbreak of evangelism coming. And I've took that very personal, as though I was one of those barren women, you know, women that's not bearing children. And the Lord was going to give a promise that there's going to be a great increase of children. So the reaction then is in verse 2, or the action from that is, enlarge the place of your tent. Let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Don't hold them back. Lengthen, go through the arduous task of lengthening the cords and strengthen your stakes. And so there's clearly a call here to the barren woman who's got a tent big enough for one or two to make a bigger tent to get ready for what's going to happen. We clearly understood that in the Spirit to mean that we were not supposed to hole up in one place and build a Mecca where a ton of ministry is going on. By the way, that I said that in a sarcastic way. That may be okay for some ministries and various things, but the Lord has called us and said to us that that would be like a Babylonian thing, where we're just getting all the power into one house and building as high as we can to the sky. The Lord wants us to send. He's always called us to be a bit of an apostolic place where we send, 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 and that produces some weaknesses. The cords get stretched. It feels a little smaller. It'd be nice to have all those Wichita people in the room, all the Plainview people in the room, all the other ministries we're being able to work with in the city. Love to have them all in this one place, you know? But the Lord told us clearly, don't do that. You need to spread out into areas and let groups adopt geographical areas so that they bring the kingdom of God where they are. So we're very committed. I remember in the 90s, it almost prophetically leapt out of my heart one time that I'd rather see 10 churches of 100 than one of 1,000. And that's not because we're anti-big, but you ought to see the stats, guys, on the effectiveness of smaller churches that aren't dead. But churches of 100 are winning more people to Jesus statistically than churches of 300, 1,000, 3,000. It's crazy percentage-wise what goes on because of sometimes, not always, the natural thing that can happen of producing an audience. And that can happen just by what we're doing with this little dog and pony show we do, where all of a sudden you come in, we minister to you, you get stirred, you go out and wait for your next dose next week. And I just want nothing to do with that. I don't want to do that. I want this to be one supplemental meaning in the midst of a whole bunch of people that are infiltrating culture and Babylon out there with the gospel of Jesus. And so we're stretching and sending. We've targeted a couple other areas where we want to send some people into different cities or regions. And it's exciting times ahead, but it will stretch us. And it says, verse 3, the promise is, for you will spread abroad to the right and the left, and your offspring will possess nations and will people the desolate cities. And this is our passion. We love Shan Magum in India. He's got 10 movements of disciples that are exploding and multiplying in India right now. We love that. We don't want that guy to go to Bangalore and just build one ministry. We want him to go spread and multiply. Got guys in Africa doing that. And we're saying, keep spreading, keep sending, keep multiplying. Don't put a sign up and say, come, you go. You go into the areas, you go into the brothels, you go into these places and plant the church right in the middle of darkness. And so we're excited about that happening here, happening regionally in Houston and Portland and other cities to come, and happening international. And I hope, I hear myself talking sometimes, and I'm hoping that you don't, I said in the email, we don't do this to be big or to be busy, we do it to obey. We do it to obey because we believe God's called and put assignments on the saints, and we want to get you activated in ministry. Speaking of a saint, one of them married my daughter, and he's a saint. And so come on up here, and Jordan is just going to share, grab that microphone, a little bit of some mission and some things that are on his heart and what he's doing.
So I think Sam wanted me to talk about just some stuff where I think is on both of our hearts a little bit about the Butler Community College area. I've been cleaning apartments there for Good to Be Clean the past probably month or so, and pretty much every time I'm going there now, I feel like every time I'm going, the villas, by the way, it's the apartment complex for the students. A lot of students at Butler live there, and basically, if you know anything about it, it's pretty much like two big apartment complexes that are devoted to partying and alcohol and pretty much any kind of sin or revelry you can think of. Those buildings are devoted to that, and I think the students going in there, I think that's what, when they're moving in there, that's what's in their hearts as they're moving in, is this is a place where I'm going to be free to indulge my sin nature, basically. And so as I've been cleaning there, I'll be there for hours at a time, and it's just been on my heart a lot. Like, I'm just thinking, man, I'd love to have a house church here. I'd love to just be able to set up something here in one of these apartments, and then on Friday nights I can have signs set up everywhere saying, instead of whatever, come to house church tonight and you know, learn about Jesus. Something to advertise and try to get people there, give them another option, and hopefully preach the gospel. And so that's been in my heart and growing. I feel like every time I'm there, it's increasing. But last week, I think it was, I was there, and suddenly it just started. For some reason, I was kind of shifting away from thinking about the villas, and it kind of started. I started thinking about man, I think I could probably go to Butler and set up something there and put out flyers and talk to somebody who's in charge and get permission to start something. And so that was just really kind of burning in my heart that day. And I didn't really do anything with that. I just kind of think about these things and then pray about them. And like, Lord, whatever you want me to do, just provide. And so later that day, it was a couple hours later, Sam sent a text to me and several other guys. And he just said, he had that Isaiah verse in there. And then he I can't remember what he said, but something to the extent of that he was feeling led to start something, some kind of mission, some kind of ministry at Butler. And so it's just like, huh, well, that's interesting. I guess that's not just me, you know, coming up with this. I think the Lord's doing something. Mm-hmm. And so really, I don't have much to share about it. I think it's we haven't really done much with it yet, but that's just in our hearts. And
and what I want to emphasize is that area got on your heart because you're working there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And what he's working is doing his job, which all y'all are doing, and you're being thrust into unreached areas. And we want to go to Algiers, and we want to go to Peru, and we want to go to the Middle East, and we're working on that. But I'm telling you, there's unreached pockets and neighborhoods and areas that if we would open our eyes, Luke, you know, I'm John 4, look up, the harvest is ripe and it's ready. And so I was very, very encouraged by Jordan just doing his job, cleaning the toilet, and then being concerned with the dirty stuff that's out there. And so, you got a verse, sir?
Well, I just had something. Did you want?
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
Okay.
Go for it.
Well, I just wanted to quickly encourage you guys about this, and this has been on my heart before Sam even asked me to talk today. But I've just been thinking about this process that's been happening in me of actually even wanting to do mission. And my testimony is that the past year or so, like when I'd hear people talking about doing mission or like they're giving up their lives to do mission and people, you know, Sam talks about the doctors in Wichita who are giving up their lives and they're choosing willfully to live in trailer houses and to give up pleasures and things of this world. And when I would hear that, it didn't produce in me this feeling of like, oh, that's awesome, that's great, and man, I want to do that. It produced in me like, man, I'm kind of a rotten Christian. What am I doing? And it produced more in me like this heaviness, this guilt, this feeling of, man, they're better than me. I better try to get my act together. And so I think that with any, it's so easy, I think, to talk about any biblical, any gospel demand. I think the gospel has great demands on us. It says you have to be willing to forsake your life, you know, if you want to follow me. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. And we can sit up here, Sam can talk about, you know, you should be looking forward to the coming of Jesus. And I think Ryan last week kind of was mentioning some of this. I think you can focus on the demand only, and you can lose sight that the gospel's first focus for us is not to look at the demand that it gives us, but the supply that it gives us. And so the only thing that is producing in me a desire for this is I'm the most selfish, fearful, like just wanna not even talk to people type of person. But when I would hear those other testimonies and it produced that guilt in me, I'd recognize that and say, man, that's not right. I shouldn't have to feel that. And so I'd simply just start going to the Lord and asking, saying, Lord, I don't really have much of a heart for you like I want to. I don't have much of a heart for people like I want to. And I just start asking for that. There's a parable in Luke about the persistent widow. And it's a story about this widow who has this judge. And she's going to him constantly trying to get justice from him. And she's going to him over and over and over. And he keeps refusing to give her what she's asking for. But finally, the scripture says that because of her continual coming, the judge finally decided to give her what she was asking for. And Jesus was giving this parable, and he gives us the reason why he gave this parable. He says, he told them this parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And so I just kind of took these teachings in the Bible that say, when you don't have something that you know you should have, trust that God is a good father and he wants to give that to you, and trust his promise when he says, if you ask and seek and knock, you'll get what you're asking for. And so I just started to ask that, and it wasn't just a one-time asking. It was like, I have to have this, and I'm not going to stop asking you until you start to do this stuff in my heart. And so it's just little tiny measures of it. I'm such a mess still, and I got so far to go, but I'm seeing the fruit of that. That's just, and it's all coming from, it's not coming from somebody telling me I ought to be ministering. Mm. It's coming from me understanding the hope and the power and the freedom that I already have in Christ, and what the gospel already is for me. And that's just making me, as I'm understanding that, it's becoming something in me that's saying I can't help but want somebody else to know about that. And so that's just an encouragement that for any demand that the gospel puts on us, know that the gospel will supply that demand. Mm.
That's really good. And I just want to observe, because some of you may have felt what he felt when we come up here and I tell crazy stories of people doing crazy things for Jesus, and we highlight that, and it's all exciting. And I just want to notice really quick here that what Jordan did, he didn't let it drive him under. He felt that, you know, he didn't let that just stay there and then he does nothing, or he goes into legalism about it, but he took it in prayer and pleaded with the Lord, and the Lord is doing the transformational work in his heart. And so I just appreciate that the Lord's giving you wisdom in that and working with that. And sorry, I bummed you out for a while. So
that's good. All right.